Everybody, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Harlan?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yeah.
Hillary?
Here.
Carla?
Here.
Rita?
Here.
Rad?
Here.
Carlene?
Here.
Oh. Who's going to make it? I don't think Summer's here.
Okay. Right, a quorum. Others in attendance? How about in False Pass?
Kirk George, Craig George out here, teacher, admin, False Pass.
Just us.
Okay. King Cove?
It's Paul. Good evening, everybody.
Oh, hey, Paul. We have in here Mr. Franklin, Cheryl, Mia Cromer.
And then online we have Austin, Megan Gatlin, David Nielsen, Hillary Seifert, KSDP, and I believe that's everybody.
Okay, thank you. Can I get approval of the agenda?
I'd like to make a motion of approval of agenda.
Brenda, I'll second.
And motion by Harlan, second by Brenda. Roll call.
Harlene?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yeah.
Hillary?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Harry.
Okay. Approval of minutes, minutes for January 23rd, 2024, regular meeting minutes, and then also February 6th, 2024, special meeting minutes.
This is Brenda. Could we do them as a block to approve the minutes January 23rd, 2024, and February 6th, 2024, as a block, please?
This is Rita. Open call.
Okay, motion by Brenda, second by Hillary. So I heard. Roll call.
Rita?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Are there any public comments on agenda items? Okay. No comments. We'll go into student reports. You have student report?
Lisa?
Yep. Come on up, Mia.
Okay.
We got Mia here.
Good evening, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank the board for sending me to the legislative fly-in. We got to meet and speak with representatives and senators, and we got to learn a lot about the other issues, the issues other districts face. And it was really awesome to learn about all that. And I just had a lot of fun, and it'd be amazing to get to go to it again. And that's all I have for you guys.
Thanks, thank you. Mia was, I heard some of Mia's that she posted where she was talking about our pool. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yep. And they're asking questions and it's like, all right, go Mia. Advocating for us. So does anybody have any questions for Mia? Or comments?
I'm glad you guys made
Thank you, Mia. It looked like you guys had a good time there. I enjoyed the pictures.
All right. So, A, superintendent's report.
I work fast today.
Sorry.
Well, thank you. Share my screen again here. Okay. Thank you, Madam President. Board members, Mia, thank you for coming. My goal is to be a little more brief, but I'm going to follow the same format of going through the MARCH acronym, quoting my favorite February birthday person, Susan B. Anthony, who said, independence is happiness. And I think that is a great quote to start this. I'm talking about autonomy, which is where I'll spend most of this conversation this evening. So this is a photo from that trip that Mia was just talking about in Representative Edgman's office. I'd like to think, not just because I'd like to think it, but I was told by people that the presence of our students in Juneau, it really did have a significant effect on partly on and getting SB 140 passed this week. Definitely, I got notes this week from a number of different representatives and their aides talking about how our students, among others, really had an impact with that. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. In this office, Mia did a great job advocating, explaining what our capital improvement needs are. Summer did a great job expressing to Representative Edgman what our student activities needs are. And then we had a wonderful little concert from Julian, who actually took one of Representative Edgman's guitars and played in the office. And I think that was probably the most powerful moment, according to Edgman's aide, the most powerful moment from the legislative fly-in that they had with any student. Partly it was powerful, I think, because we were able to show how this young man did a great, you know, has learned guitar and is a great artist in spite of the fact that our schools no longer have music or art programs because of a lack of funding. So it was a real powerful moment. I went through this in more detail last month, but I want to review real quickly, explaining a little bit what our funding situation or our revenue challenges are right now. Last time I explained how, you know, these are our main three buckets of funding sources for schools. But I wanted to focus on one thing here, the basic need, which is our ADM times the BSA that everybody's been talking about, is subtracted by the required local contribution, and that is set by the state. And then also you subtract impact aid from that. So I just want to show you something that people don't talk about a lot. The local contribution that's projected for this year, for 24, the local contribution, which is from the borough for us, was $644,000 and change. The maximum would be $1.8 million change. So they're required, all local either boroughs or cities are required to fund that minimum, and they're allowed to fund up to the maximum. The part I wanted to point out here is that the basic need, so when people talk about the BSA, that's our adjusted ADM times the BSA is our basic need. That then the state subtracts the required local contribution from that. So this is something that people don't talk about a lot. As the local contribution goes up, that means the aid we get from the state goes down. So I'll show you an example of that below here. And above here, I just reminder why some of our revenues is going down. Some of it's out of our control. We've had a long-term enrollment drop really since the 90s. There's been a consistent drop of enrollment. Every time a school drops under 100 students, it becomes funded as one school instead of two schools. So in the last couple of years, that has happened to both King Cove and Sandpoint, which has led to a significant drop in funding. False pass now, 3 years under 10 students, means it's not funded as a school at all. The individual students are funded, but it's not funded on a school model. And then we're losing some significant federal and state grants this next year. And then, of course, the whole question about the BSA not increasing and keeping up with inflation. But I wanted to just show you an example of that local minimum required effort that doesn't get a whole lot of press, but I want to show you how these numbers can make a significant difference. So as an example, these are actual numbers from the state. In FY22, the ADM of our school district was 188 students. The district adjusted ADM was 931. So that's after all the calculations are made. So it's that 931 that's multiplied by the BSA to get our state aid. In 24, the ADM was 185. So notice that's only three students fewer. But because of all those factors I talked about, it actually leads to an adjusted ADM of 815, significant difference. So that is a difference of $686,000. So just in 2 years, just because of those enrollment changes and because of changes in the demographics of our schools, meaning dropping under 100 or one school going under 10, that little difference in overall can be a difference of $686,000 from the state. So just want everybody to kind of get a picture of how significant that can be. And that's just an adjusted ADM of 115. The part I wanted to kind of point out that's not talked about a lot is this minimum required local effort. So in FY23, the minimum required local effort was 497, and in 24, it was 644. So that's a difference of $147,000 and change. That's the easy part to figure out. But what we don't remember sometimes is that then is subtracted from the state aid. So if the borough funds us at $800,000, which they have consistently, and then the minimum is increased, but they continue to fund us at $800,000, that means the school district actually gets $147,000 less. I'm hearing mumblings. Do I need to explain that?
No, we're just commenting. We are a school. We have kids coming out from practice.
Okay, great. Good. Wonderful. So again, the state aid determined by the BSA, we then take our local minimum required effort and subtract from that, because the state assumes, well, that the local contribution will go up. If our local contribution does not go up, which it didn't in the last couple of years, it actually means we get funded less. So these are like these little hidden numbers that we don't talk about. So when I ask the borough this year for extra money, I'm actually just asking them to keep up with this reduction in aid from the state. I'll answer questions on that later if people have them. So SB 140 was the main thing we were advocating for, the main bill we were advocating for when we were in the state. It started as I'm sure a lot of people have heard about it, so I just want to summarize it a little bit here. Today was a big day of it regarding the SB 140. It started out as a Senate bill simply to increase the bag limit. So the bag is the Austin could chime in here. Bandwidth. It's a grant that covers our internet, a state grant, but we are limited to 25 megabits of bandwidth. So the initial part of this bill is saying that, you know, it was just that we want that increase, that bandwidth increase from 25 to 100 so that we could have 100 megabits and still get this grant from the state. Without this new bill, if we get more than 25 megabits, which is not enough to run a school and have testing online and have our online courses, then we would lose that bag grant. So we actually literally have slower internet speed at our schools than we are able to have, because if we increase the speed, we actually would lose a big state grant to fund it.
Our homes are operating on fiber between 1.2, I think now, Austin, right? Or
2.5.
Is it 2.5 now? Is it made it up that fast?
Yeah, 2.5 gigabits. So it's operating at a speed about 100 times faster, roughly.
and our schools and businesses operate with 25 megabytes per second. And
so there is universal support to raise it to 100. It went through the Senate easily, passed the Senate easily. And then when it got to the House, in Rules Committee, it became an omnibus package. They added all these other things to it, which were not as popular. So added to the bill became these bonus payments for the teachers that the governor is in support of. Also, governors wanted to see the state approval process for charter schools change so that charter schools still run by local districts could be approved at the state level, not needing local approval. There was an increased funding put in there for correspondence schools, funding for students who are deaf and hard of hearing, and a $300 BSA increase. So this larger package went to the House, and the House, it was not passed in the House. It went back to the Senate and was, again, thrown back to just being the bag limit increase. It went back to the original bill. It went to the House. And a few things were taken out and a few more things were added. The bonus payments for teachers were taken out. The state approval process for charter schools was taken out. But there was added a new position to coordinate charter schools on a state level. The correspondence school funding stayed in. The $300 BSA was changed to a $680 BSA increase. And then there was also an extra $500 per K-3 student in need of reading intervention that was put in there. Surprisingly, the second time around with these added, it passed the House easily with only two nays. And so passed overwhelmingly in the Senate with one nay and in the House with two. And it went to the governor's desk. And the governor just had a press conference this afternoon saying he will not sign it unless the teacher bonuses and the charter school provision put back in. So we have the next 14 days for that to happen. And it's going to be interesting to see whether it gets passed. Obviously, the 680 BSA increase would help us quite a bit. And obviously, we would love to just go back and get that bag increase, if nothing else. And so the next 14 days, you'll probably hear a lot of politicking about it. And that's really all it's about. He will not sign the 680 BSA increase unless he gets the new approval process for charter schools and bonus payment for teachers. At least that's what he said this afternoon.
So do they want to add that to our list then and then approve it? Add it to that current list that they approved?
Yeah.
Like, oh, here, we're going to add this and we'll add this to it and now approve it?
Well, that's what he suggested today, which was
so
pretty
cool. Wouldn't that be better if we got everything plus what he's asking for too?
I think some people question whether he really is going to sign it with those or we'd have to take some things out like a lower BSA.
But that wasn't what he said.
Well, he supports a higher BSA. He said very clearly, schools need more money. Schools need money to function. He said that very clearly. But I, you know, some of us who have been following it and following him this year, I'll just say my opinion, is that, you know, if the charter school provisions go in and the bonus for teachers go in, that money's going to have to come from somewhere. And so he would easily be able to say, well, that money will come straight out of the BSA increase. That would be a logical thing to do from his perspective, I think. So I just went through.
I also strongly believe he keeps talking about there's no accountability for the money being spent. And that's his, he believes that there should be more of an accountability system put in place for that money to be spent. And he states that over and over in every conference that he has, every press conference he has.
Absolutely. And actually, right before this meeting, I was saying the same thing, that's something that I and most education leaders agree with. We want more accountability. We want, obviously, our schools to be improved. I think the fear we have is that, you know, we're on a bit of a deadline for this bag limit to go in. I was just talking to Austin about it. We're in good... Austin's done a great job getting us set up here, but on March 27th is the deadline for those applications to get in. And so if we don't have a bag limit increase before then, we'll be stuck with the 25 for the next year because we'll have to sign contracts. And so what I hope the government will do, so if anybody here has the ear of the government or the governor, is to state clearly what those accountability measures would be, because I think we'd all agree with accountability measures for our schools. We've never heard what those accountability measures would be. We've only heard that he wants more charter schools. So I might sound like the sky's falling here. I've talked about how much money we're losing. I've talked about, you know, our internet's slow. I'm going to talk about some facility challenges, but I really do believe sincerely what Seneca says, the fire is the test of gold, adversity of strong men. So I think a good challenge, and I think we have a good challenge in front of us here, is an opportunity for us to get better and to grow. And so that's where we're headed next. On the March 19th and 20th, we're going to have a strategic planning meeting. Our friends at AASB are helping guide that for us. That's going to help me as a school leader to focus our energies in the next year. And we're going to have to focus with reduced funding. But with good strategic planning and focus, we can do great things. We're just going to have to narrow our focus. And that'll help us a lot with that. Some things that we can do with no more funding is we can do a better job individualizing instruction. And I really appreciate bringing up those accountability measures. These are things we can do better, even with no more school funding. We can find internships for kids. We can provide local community connections. We can add blended resources to add opportunities for our students, even if we don't have more teachers. And something we were talking about earlier at the workshop is providing more family and community events. Those are all things we can do and can do a lot better. So I always put facility updates under the autonomy section, just because I think to have true agency as a group, autonomy as individuals, we need safe and clean and good facilities. So we are moving forward with the approved FY25 CIP, the capital improvement project. We're still number 10 on the state's list, so I'm hopeful that we will get full funding for that. But even before we're getting the state funds, the borough in their generosity is moving forward with the projects. So we are working with Dowell on planning these projects. And it's going to include full refurbishment of the locker rooms. Again, Mia was a big part on pushing that forward, so thank you for advocating. We'll get new exterior doors at Sandpoint School, new interior door hardware for safety at Sandpoint School, hallway lockers, and roof and exterior wall repairs, specifically on the over the pool and over the kitchen and boiler room area.
Anybody look into the high school floor, the hallway floor? Like maybe, I mean, I don't know what the cost, but if you're ripping up lockers and rechanging that stuff out, there's some pretty soft spots, huh, Mia, down the high school wing on the floor.
Yeah, we will add that to the look. I just got the first plans today. They just came through. So I will share those when I have a chance to actually look at them. And then in the next year, in addition to that, and the scope of work in the next year will be window replacements in False Pass and Accutan schools, waterline replacement in King Cove School. Those of you in King Cove know what I'm talking about. There's internal waterline that needs to be shifted over from copper to PEX, and Donnie's slowly been doing it one branch at a time. But we'll actually get in there this summer and redo the whole system. And then new exterior stairs to access the boiler in Accutan School. So a lot of projects up ahead. Quick update on the Sandpoint pool. We had a team come in and repair leaks in the pool liner and gutter this last week. And we will be replacing the hydrostatic release valves in the two drains in the bottom. And once those are done, we will refill that pool again in the next couple weeks. And keep our fingers crossed.
I have a question before you move on.
Yeah.
I know this says work for next year. And I guess it's kind of a question, but and it looks like maybe Rita has her hand up. Rita, are you raising your hand?
Yeah, I'll go after you.
Okay. My questions have to do with King Cove and First, we need to look at, I think, the King Cove Playground, and I kind of briefly mentioned that today, and I talked about it last spring. And then, is the heat in the King Cove school always crazy? Has it always been like that? Is it working? Is that the way it just operates, or is it malfunctioning? Like in the multipurpose room, like the gym, why it's so hot all the time. Is that just standard? Or is that something that could be fixed? Kind of a question to Paul, to anyone?
Mike, I can try. I can do
that. No, I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm just curious. It's something that needs to go on our to-do list.
I definitely can't go and fix it right now. And what I meant by try is that I can try to explain it the best that I can. From what I understand from conferencing with Donnie about it, it's an extremely sensitive, technologically automated system that works off of the air handling unit and blended into our boiler system, of course. And then also we have the tied in waste heat as well that we get from the city, which we love. That saves us a lot of money. Been down a little bit lately. That's usually a huge fuel saver for King Cove School and Old District. So right now we are having sensor issues with our air handling system. Donnie's been able to replace some of them, but that's what causes the heat to go wacky in the gym, is that some of the sensors are just reading the heat incorrectly, and it just doesn't move the air exactly where it's supposed to go at the correct times. And it also doesn't help that every now and then a window gets left open, right? And that causes the sensors to kind of go AWOL, and they'll like rapidly heat the gym while letting some other area of the school get cold because it's trying to compensate. So it does need work, Rayette.
Okay, that was just my question. I was just like, is it broken and we just need to put it on our list of to-dos, or is this the way it was put in there? So thanks for the explanation. I kind of understand what you're saying. So I hope in the future we can get it fixed where it operates efficiently. But by all means, I don't want you to go and try and fix it. That was not what my question was. Okay, Rita?
You asked, my question is, we thought the King Cove Playground was on the CIP.
So it might be on a list to replace it, but the CIP is specific to the Sam Point major maintenance, but we have other maintenance with the borough. We have another list of maintenance that's what the scope of the next year is. So we should probably have, we should have the King Cove Playground on there.
Correct. That was letting you know that is missing.
Thank you.
That falls through the crack. We could have a bunch of little kids come in and tell you how terrible it is, but we would just prefer us just saying it is good enough. Just please add it.
Gotcha.
Is the playground something that the borough, that they would cover as like building, or is that the district's responsibility?
So I think in theory the borough would cover it, but we have a special fund in the district to make sure it happens.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Polite answer.
Okay.
All right, R in March is relatedness. Talked already about the legislative fly-in, although it was a big trip, bringing, especially once the students showed up, it was definitely worthwhile. A lot of great positive feedback, especially from our students, about how much of an impact they had with our representatives. So I want to thank them for making that effort. Recruitment and retention, we did last month hand out contracts to tenured teachers. Those will be due back on March 6th, after which we'll know for sure which teachers are intending to return. And at that point, we can post other potential openings for 24-25. We'll talk about new hires in another section here. I went over this briefly last time, but just a reminder that one way we're going to save some money next year or reduce our expenditures is by consolidating some positions. And so we will see fewer staff members at all the schools, well, at the two larger sites, and some consolidated positions. So we are going to be asking a lot more of our people. But again, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It'll be both a money saver and a way for us to, I think, be more efficient in our services. This is a great display. This was student art from our district that was on display at the State Museum in Juneau. We had a great reception there, and a bunch of art was auctioned off from students from around the state to support scholarship programs for Alaska students. We had a great in-service with teachers on the 2nd. We had Aaron Hansen come in, who wrote the book Heroes Within, and he really focused on how to build agency with our students, which is one of our big themes. We'll definitely be having him back in April to follow up on that with our elementary side. He just worked with the secondary. And then our elementary this time worked with Tammy Halfacre from Core Literacy on using Dibbles and other measures to improve outcomes for reading. And again, that's one of those, one of the accountability measures that the governor hasn't talked about, but it was a big part in enacting was the Reads Act. And the Reads Act is, I think, a really great example. This is just my opinion, a great example of a state mandate that led to really clear accountability measures that I think are really helping our teachers improve reading outcomes for our kids. So she's helping us with that. In April, we'll flip those, or next in-service, we'll flip those. So Aaron Hansen will work with building agency with our elementary teachers, and Tammy Halfacre will work on literacy skills with our secondary teachers. And as usual, I'd like to end with positive habits, the most significant of which is showing gratitude. Before I get to the two that I had listed here, I want to have a special shout out and thank you to our city workers and then especially to our maintenance head at Sandpoint School, Drayton Newman. I've given him a shout out previously, but the past 2 weeks, he's been knee deep in pretty poopy work. That's literal. We had a real significant sewage backup at our school, which with Drayton's really hard work and really great problem solving, we were able to get it fixed yesterday. And not only do we get to have school in session again and have it be safe and sanitary, but also he cleared it so that we can actually have work done on our boilers for the guys who just flew in today. So without Drayton's work, we would not be having school this week at Sandpoint. And we would not be having our boilers fixed. So that's a great example of just a hard worker. And when emergencies occur, we literally could not function without people like Drayton. But prior to this week on my list, I really wanted to make sure we showed gratitude to Tabitha Johansson and Donnie Kocher. And so Tabitha is pictured here in the stripes. And I think she's one who we have lots of people like this, but she's one who we literally couldn't run a whole school program. Many of us believe, like I do, that school is a lot more than just reading and writing and math, that it's really about building community and having events for kids and events for the community. And Tabitha's one who, if you get to school early, you'll see she's the one who sets up the multi-purpose room every morning to make sure the kids have a good place to hang out and get snacks and get some food in the morning. And she's, in addition to her regular classroom aid duties, is helping kids at lunch. And then every basketball event, every volleyball event, we wouldn't be able to have them without her on her own time. She got certified to be a referee in the sports, and it's a job that not many people enjoy doing. And I don't know that she enjoys doing them, but she knows that we need it done for the kids. And so she comes each and every time. So I really wanted to recognize her for all those efforts for our community. And Donnie, I already talked about some of the work he does in King Cove. He's one who literally, whistles his way through the day. He has a beautiful song that he carries with him, literally. Always fun to talk to you. Always a good story. But while he's having fun and always positive, he's also getting some amazing work done. The last time I was in King Cove, we woke up to a pretty significant flood in one of the classrooms. And without hesitation and without grumbling, he immediately went and had that classroom torn up. And by midday, had those pipes replaced and dry. And that's that project that hopefully will get done completely this summer, so he won't have to keep doing that. But again, another one who just has fun at work, appreciates the kids, and we couldn't have our buildings run without them. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? All right, hearing none. District correspondence. We got the principal's reports in there. What else is in correspondence? Is there anything anybody wants to bring out?
Was there a request last time for the principals to share those reports?
I think it's been said before. But have we asked them to? Like, has that been a request?
I just think that was brought up last time, so I was asking.
I mean, I'm more than happy to have them report if they want to. Because is there anything special you want to share at your schools? Rita, go ahead.
I'm the one who brought it up last time. I was just the same, because it's similar to kind of what you just did, Mike, is you gave us your report, but you talked about it for almost 30 minutes. But it's the same thing with them, is they do, you know, they give us their report, but it's always nice if they do have anything to add, but not necessarily where they ever have to tell us anything, if they choose to. That's all I meant.
Or maybe some highlights. Maybe there's specific highlights that happened that they want to share? Anyone? Go ahead, Paul. Your hand's up. You get to go.
Yeah, always happy to share. at our school, we've recently been adorned with some beautiful Unungan art. So it was a huge project that our first grade teacher, Mrs. Delacruz, she's a huge art bug. A couple of years ago, found some beautiful Unungan oil pastel paintings from an artist in Unalaska. So through a huge effort, we were able to get the art here, get it framed and mounted in Anchorage at Blaine's Art Supply, and now it's beautifully decorating our school and our hallways and some of our offices. And you know, Jacqueline did that not just because she's an art bug, but because she listens to things like the school climate and connectedness surveys that we put out every year. And the cultural component and the connection to school and student culture was always a common theme that came up in that survey. So that's just a good example of staff and teachers that are invested in the school, listening to kids. And I really thank her for putting the time into doing that. We have a couple of great events taking place with our awesome partnership between our school here in King Cove and APIA. So we have a Nigala build, and I know I'm mispronouncing that and saying it incorrectly. But another Newman, Dusty Newman, will be coming out to King Cove to work on a Nigala with Shell Mack, our CTE teacher, and his class in our wood shop. So that's happening towards the end of this month, I believe. We had a wonderful presentation with a ANTHC with a recent high school graduate, Nicole Gould. She's class of 2021. Here in King Cove, she came in on February 21st, which also happens to be my sister's birthday, and gave a tremendous presentation on healthy relationships and teen dating violence to our middle school and high school students. Our students responded really wonderfully to not only the presentation, but also them seeing such a recent high school graduate come back to serve our community and have, you know, a real job right after graduating with an associate's degree from UAA was inspirational to them. And I could tell that they really looked up to her. for getting up and speaking on that very important topic. And she did some really great other activities throughout the community that whole week. And lastly, with our partnership with APIA, I'm just so thankful for all the support they're always giving to our schools. Because in a conversation that I had with Mr. I should call him Officer Mike Livingston, a resident of Cold Bay, who's always reaching out to me to try to just offer different opportunities to our students. Was able to speak to our staff on an early release Wednesday about a course that's being offered called Archaeology and the Aleutians. We have several staff members that are interested in taking the course and can receive college credit for it. So it'd be great professional development for them. And they were a little worried about the schedule because the times and the dates of the course didn't really line up with their work schedule. But Mike and Shrivashan and just the kind of guy he is said that, you know, no matter what, we'll find a way to get access to course materials to staff if they're interested in doing it. So that was really, really wonderful. And then lastly, you know, in my report, I also added that we sent one student out to the Voyage School with Chugiak School District. That's a partnership that we've developed over the last few years here. Dre is a ninth grade student, and she was going to the Voyage School for emergency medical services. And as I was pulling in my driveway this afternoon, her father couldn't help but follow me into my driveway with his police cruiser, which made me a little nervous at first. But he was just telling me that his daughter, Dre, passed her ETT exam, and she'll be returning to Kingfib on March 4th, just full of herself and excited. So just a few things that I thought I'd share, and I appreciate the opportunity to do it. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Kurt, is there anything you would like to share on False Palace?
Had all that.
Okay, not yet.
We haven't had quite that level of activity, a small school out here, but one thing that we've had a pretty high level of activity consistently through the school year is getting the infrastructure of the school rebuilt. And currently, they arrived today because in my report I show in late February, plumbers are expected to arrive to replace the main water heating tank, which they're planning on doing actually tomorrow as we speak. So they came in actually today because of weather being weathered out yesterday. And we have been working piece by piece, and almost quite literally piece by piece at times, getting the school put back together. It must have been just something that's been just long neglected, and we're trying to get back to being where it needs to be. I know earlier Superintendent Franklin mentioned about having a window project out here this summer for next year. And I can see where that, you know, that's been something that's discussed. However, that's more of a summertime endeavor, especially with the climate out here. Yeah, but the interior, the boilers, now the heating tank, electrical, fire alarm system back in early January. So we're trying to make it just a good, safe, habitable place to have our students learn, grow, and develop in. So that is probably the thing that just kind of stands out the most. I mean, we have our outstanding students here. They've been a great joy and pleasure to work with this year. But, you know, if we had a few more of them, then we'd be above 10. But sometimes you just take what you have. But we're trying to certainly make the best of it out here as we're completing and not far off from completing our third quarter out here going into fourth quarter. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Ms. Scoutlin.
Hello.
You're next.
So I'll just focus on some of the things I had too. And let me say one thing about False Pass, just because, you know, they still have my heart, part of my heart. The state troopers were in Sandpoint in the school today, the fishing game, and they showed me an awesome picture of the False Pass students on the state trooper boat. So Kurt didn't mention that, but that was pretty fun to see.
But as far as Sam,
thank you. I took the pictures and sent them to everybody. I should have thought of sending it to you too as well. I was just trying to get them out to the parents and then to Franklin. I didn't know if he was going to put them up for everybody tonight or not.
No, it's yeah, that was fun. Fun to see him. So, anyway.
That was a good afternoon.
But yeah, for Sandpoint, our in-service was great. I got excellent feedback from the staff here regarding the in-service. And I guess I'll do my, I was going to public comment for the Juno fly-in with the kids. But I just, like, it was so awesome to go with these kids, and I just really thank so much to the board for sending Summer Julia and Mia and I to that. I honestly don't know who enjoyed it more, them or me, because it was super fun. It was also really an eye-opening experience for all of us, learning about the legislative process, and the kids were so in tune and so actively engaged in the learning. And I had no idea, nor did they, how much the voice of our youth matters in that legislative process. And so it's awesome to know and to hear the feedback that they truly can and did make a difference. And like Mia standing up there tonight, she's only in ninth grade and she speaks with such confidence. Tonight she didn't even have any notes. And at the end of her talking tonight, she requested that she goes next year as well. And all three of those students voiced to me several different times that they would like to go next year. And while I was there, I noticed that several of the schools had sent the same kids, you know, year after year. There were quite a few seniors there that had been going since ninth grade. And it's just really awesome to see their growth over the years and them become youth leaders. And so I think it is, you know, a great idea to have the same kids go and build up on that prior knowledge and help them just find that courage to continue to use their voice. And then, as Mike said, you know, Julian was honored to play the guitar for Representative Edgman. And Julian's a little more quiet, but it was awesome to see him come out of his shell and take part in this process. He was very engaged. Sometimes it's hard to tell that he's engaged until he starts talking to you. And then just the knowledge that comes from him is amazing. And he actually had mentioned how, because there were bills on cultural diversity, mental health, and then, you know, the bandwidth, the BSA. And he mentioned how those are all related and shouldn't even be separate in the legislative process. And, you know, that's absolutely true. And then just, you know, Mia and Summer advocating for student programs and safe buildings to learn in. So it was just really, really definitely one of the highlights of, you know, my educational years and something I'll take with me in the future. And I think it's the same for these kids as well. And Mike, you know, focused a lot on his presentation tonight on the budget and how things are going to be cut. And I really hope that that's one of the things that doesn't get cut, because I really think it's super, super valuable, a great learning experience for these kids. So thank you again for sending us. He talked about the school issues as well. And Dre, and I didn't have in my report anything about Dre, but we had the Hillary's was staying here just recently. I can't remember how long it's been since she's here, but anyway, she came in for one of her visits, and I get a phone call from her at 4 a.m. that the hallway and one of the rooms is flooding because a fire sprinkler has been going running for who knows how long. There was a lot of water, so it'd been running for quite a while. So I in turn called Dre, because I obviously don't know what to do with it. And Dre answers his phone. It sounded like he'd just been awake waiting for my call. And, you know, Dre is somebody that is super positive all the time. There's very few people that I have known throughout my life that are just always positive. And he's one of them. There's always a smile on his face. And nothing but positivity leaves his mouth, even at 4 a.m. when I call him, because we need him up at the school to fix this sprinkler. And then again, when he's literally knee deep in poo water, and this has been like over a week. I mean, yesterday, you know, thankfully the city and everything showed up and helped him get it fixed, but he's been working for a long time and we are just super, super blessed to have him, as our maintenance guy. Let's see what else I had on here. Miss Whitson, she's doing some great things. Her kids have been going into the younger classrooms and helping with a math fair that's coming up. And I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to look through the board packets and those pictures, but those pictures of those 11th graders in helping those little second graders with their projects just warms my heart. I love it so much. I think it's awesome to have the big kids help those little kids, especially because little kids always just look up to those big kids and think they're awesome. So I love that she's doing that, and that'll be part of our parent-teacher conferences this next month. Miss Curtis has done some great things in the library. She always does great things, but I love it when I get pictures from her, like the Chinese New Year. So she's really mindful of the calendars and the different holidays that are happening and teaching the kids about them. So that's super awesome. It's been great to have the building basketball games during the weekends on the in the building, and just a community here supporting our kids as they fundraise. That's, we wouldn't, you know, these kids wouldn't be able to go and do some of the things they do without the support, financial support of the community at these fundraisers. Our after school clubs are great. The Little Dribblers, Amy Mack's been running that, and those kids come and play games on the weekends when the high school kids aren't playing. And so that's really fun to see our up and coming kids be able to play and get some court time in. Mrs. Johnson's been doing beginning piano, and that's a big club. The kids love going to that, so that's really cool. She's also been doing the cheer club with the girls, so that's been fun to see them try to be brave and use their voices at the game. It's really hard to be brave when you're in third and fourth grade and the stands are full, but those little girls have been doing great, so that's fun. Our elders lunch, I love having our elders lunch. I was out taking a student somewhere today and saw one of the elders that was comes to the lunch every week, and it was just fun to be able to wave at him and exchange that, oh, I know you smile. So I love that tradition, and I'm thankful that we're still going forward with that. And then I had just something that I've switched with the teachers. They were turning in lesson plans for their week every Monday morning, and it just kind of wasn't a very productive use of their time or a productive use of my time. And so I switched things up, and instead of just requesting what they're doing for the week, I asked them, because we're focusing, you know, on student agency in the classroom and having students be more active in their learning and having choice and knowing what to do with that choice. And so I asked the teachers, instead of, you know, giving me their weekly lesson plans, to just give me one lesson plan that focuses on something that supports student agency that's, you know, new and dynamic that they're doing in their classroom. And so a lot of those pictures that are in the packet that I sent are teachers that have been doing that and then just sending me pictures on, you know, the results and the celebration of it. And so I think that's really cool. And I think it's a lot more successful than what we've been doing. So, all right, I'm tired of hearing my voice. So great. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you.
Miss Gatlin.
Hi, Miss Gatlin.
Oh, where was it? Hello, my favorite little people of Fox Pass. Thank you for coming and saying hi. Oh, Ellie too. Hi, Ellie. Great to see you guys.
But what are you drinking?
All right, thank you, everybody. Okay. Next is the business manager's report. Dave, hey, you didn't have to follow Mr. Franklin's slideshow today, so.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, and Superintendent Franklin. Yeah, but trying to follow the principles, that's not easy either. you have my report, and I don't have anything to add to the report, but I would just like to express my gratitude for all the wonderful people in the district who I have the opportunity to work with, especially like to recognize Cheryl Lynn. She just does so much kind of behind the scenes and makes a lot of things happen that people aren't aware of, and I really appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Anybody have questions on the financials?
I'd just like to say thank you, Dave, for the consistent. It's such a good report every time that we have a report given to us. I really appreciate the consistent good report each time.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Oh, Rita?
I have a question. So, Dave, do we know of any, like last year, so last year Sandpoint School food number was not correct because of possibly basketball things. So is this a good picture this year of what they're spending on their food?
Through the chair, yes. It would be accurate because we do separate out any food as long as it's properly identified for activities as opposed to the actual food service program.
Okay, so we are already over 110% food then. So from this point forward, if there's any type of new something that somebody wants to cook, to make that they don't have, it can't be bought then at this point, because that is what King Cove. If we don't have the funding, we can't buy these certain things. So in that retrospect, I mean, I don't like the idea of pinning school against school, but I have a tough time with this is a constant thing we see with our food program.
Hmm?
I guess it's not really a question, but
Madam President, that's not a decision that would come from the business office. We track it and try to make the stakeholders aware of what's happening, but those decisions would be made at the school level and in connection with the superintendent's guidance. We simply try to create a budget based on, you know, what we think will happen, but reality is never always exactly what the budget would show. But certainly in terms of spending, there should be some correlation between the two schools, I would think.
So sorry about that, Dave. It turned out to be kind of like more of a statement, I guess. So I just kind of confirmed with Mr. Barker here that it's a principal's duty then, for because they are the ones who sees the menu, that type of a thing. And so thank you. And sorry about that, Dave. But I do have one more question. I need to find it. When is our, I see the close-up. If you could help me out with the close-up. The close-up for King Cove Sandpoint at the bottom, that's how much money is short, the $1,500 for King Cove and $7,900 for Sandpoint. It's on page 32 of 32. Do we know the deadline that they have to have that money paid? Or is that already paid and that's how much they have to reimburse us, the district? Or could you tell me how that works, please?
Sure, through the chair. It's an estimate, and it's really based on the things we do know and some guesstimates, because we don't know exactly how many rooms will be required in Anchorage and how the travel will go. So that number could go up or down. The actual payments to close up have been made, and there are typically between now and when the students and the advisor travel, there's additional fundraising that happens, and the funds are usually in place prior to the students actually leaving. I do this budget to give them some sense, but really we kind of push back and say it should be the advisor and the students working together to figure out their own budget as a learning opportunity. But there, and there also the little note at the bottom, there's typically some funds that deposits that are in transit that haven't actually gone through the system yet.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? I had just one question, and it was about the workers' compensation. And I was reading your note on it, trying to understand it, where, because I noticed a lot of them are red, and that we're almost meeting or exceeding what we budgeted. Was the workers' compensation cost, did it increase quite a bit?
It's typically based on an estimate from the prior year. And then once we get the actual, it does tend to go up just a little bit, and it's prorated over the different lines. So it's not really necessarily accurate in terms of the different employee categories, because they just bill us one amount and then we try to spread it out over. So some will look like they're over budget, and then some will look like they're under, but it's just an effort to try and spread the cost throughout the whole budget.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then. All right. Thanks, Dave. Does anybody else have any questions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to accept the current financial report.
I'll make that motion.
Carlene, I second.
Carlene. Motion made by Brenda, second by Carlene. Roll call.
Carlin?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Activities report, Mr. Barker.
Yes, Madam President, thank you. I don't have much to report. Excuse me, just a couple of additional highlights. I really want to congratulate the following seniors from King Cove and Sandpoint for being selected to be semifinalists for the Alaska Association of Basketball Coaches All-Star Game in April. So we have Ariana Wilson from Sandpoint, Top Jackson from Sandpoint, Sierra Rosilli from King Cove, Jager Sean Brandle from King Cove, and Thomas Mack from King Cove. Those students have the opportunity to submit just a pretty light load to be entered as finalists, and then possibly be chosen to represent their school and their schools and districts in that really cool event at the end of the year. It's just for seniors, pretty cool event. I hope that they all pursue it. We have our regional tournaments coming up this week. Student groups are planning on leaving tomorrow. Both student groups from Sandpoint are flying with Iliamna Air Taxi, and both student groups from King Cove are flying with Lake Clark Air, with the boys and their destination in New Studio Hawk, and the girls with their destination in King Salmon, their Purcell Bay school. And just for the sake of the board, because I know that you all really care and we're crazy about basketball, I have a couple of tip-off times tomorrow. A lot of these things will go live tomorrow on Facebook, and you'll see them. You'll see them pop up online in our regular communication. But just so that you know, the Sandpoint girls play tomorrow at 4:30. They play Killigannick. The King Cove girls tip off at 6 tomorrow against KMO. That's Manicotic. The Sandpoint boys They play at 4 o'clock, and they're not going to know their competition until after the coaches' meetings. So we'll split on the 3-4 seed. It'll either be Koliganek or Manicotic. And then the King Cove boys end the first day's action at 7:45, and they don't know who they're playing yet either because they have a bye. They have a bye in the first round as the one seed in the tournament. So lots of good things happening in student activities. There's a few more things in my report. If any members of the board have any questions, I'm happy to take it.
Question. I see NYO starting. What's the... So are they coming here to do skills? Is King Cove coming to Sandpoint this year to do skills? Or... activity like they did last year when they went to King Cove? Is that still part of what we're doing?
We have one in False Pass too. That would be cool for her to be able to do skills as well.
Sure. I'll have to get with the coaches, especially since the season hasn't started yet. My past experience, and you know, I'm not saying that this isn't something we can't do, Madam President, but in my past experience, I don't think that it's something that we've typically done, and possibly something that we did in years past due to lack of scheduling and traveling because of effects from COVID. That maybe that was something we were able to do in years past, but I'd have to speak with coaches and review the budget because from what I'm familiar with, it's typical that NYO participants are just going to the state meet, which is the 25th through the 27th. So I'll have to review that and I can get back with Mike about that.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. I couldn't remember if that was something that we did regularly. I know it was something we added or that happened after COVID when there was a lot of activities that stopped, but I wasn't sure if we did that before. So
yeah. Yeah, something I am very familiar with in regard to Native Youth Olympics that is, you know, that has taken place in both King Cove and Sandpoint and should definitely take place in Falls Pass if you have student athletes out there, Carlene, is that both coaches, Peyton and Etta here have always done a tremendous job doing a highlight, like an NYO highlight during PE classes and then also during the school day where we invite students and parents to come in. And then right before state competition, usually the week before, because they have to submit all of that to Cook Inlet Tribal Council, like their measurements and everything. So while the coaches are doing that, as part of their, you know, they usually just photograph them and film them and measure them out officially. They make that a pretty neat event where we invite the community in, and that's always a ton of fun. And I know that's taken place to great effect in both King Cove and Sandpoint. And if there are student athletes participating in NYO out there in Falls Pass, they should definitely be doing that too. So,
do we have something in King Cove? Did King Cove, or not King Cove, I'm sorry, in Accutan, did they participate last year?
Falls Pass did.
I know Falls Pass did. Did Accutan?
No.
No?
I don't think so. No.
Oh. Mm.
It's just Sandpoint, King Cove, and False Pass.
Gotcha. All right. That's all. Thanks.
I know they keep it there.
Anybody else have questions? Hey. Thank you, Mr. Barker. Hillary?
Thank you. So I do have to comment to Dave. The other very hard act to follow is athletics, and I have always followed athletics. There's not nearly as much exciting going on in my neck of the woods. So I also have a hard act to follow, Dave. So and in my report, you'll see, and for the next several months, you'll just see I have a lot of transition activities going on. Since my position is going to be dissolved, I have the great opportunity of working with the staff that will be taking over for the various roles that I hold. And so you'll kind of see in my report that I'm working really closely with Amy right now on the SPED related coordination activities. We're meeting pretty regularly, and Austin as well, because we're beginning the first end of the testing cycle, just getting all the kids set up and rostered for our spring testing cycle. And then this is heavy grant season. So between now and June, when I'm done, it'll be a lot of grant work. So if there's any questions, I'm open to questions, but I think I put most everything in my report.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions?
No, like we talked about in the workshop today, I really like those like summer bridge like workbooks. And also one summer you guys sent out, this is probably a different grant, I don't know if you still have it, but like different books for the kids as well. That was really cool. You still read those books?
Yeah, and thank you, Carlene, for bringing that up, because it did just kind of get us realizing our timeline is shorter than, you know, the end of the year comes quickly. And so getting those summer bridge books ordered. And so I have sent out some emails. Megan actually contacted me right after the workshop so that we can just kind of start formulating those orders. But, you know, those have happened even before CLSD, we were doing the summer bridge books. So, you know, we can certainly be working all of that in even beyond CLSD.
Thanks, Hillary.
Okay, if there's no other questions, we can go to the technology report. Austin?
Good evening, everybody. Members of the board, my report is in the packet, and I'm happy to take any questions if anyone has anything regarding what's in the report or anything else technology-based.
Are there any questions for Austin? Okay, thank you, Austin. New business, district calendar. Everybody should have received copy of two, calendar A and calendar B. And anybody have any, did you want to speak to it, Mike? No.
I think after the workshop today, we were looking at calendar A as the one that had consensus with the teachers.
I'll make a motion to accept calendar A.
All seconds is Carlene.
Oh, it's just information. Yeah. So are we going to?
Yeah. I didn't know I named the information item.
Oh, I thought it was an action item.
Can we take action on an information item, even if it's not listed as an action item?
I think we can, because it was presented, went through the rounds with your teachers, and they decided which the best would suit them, and we had discussion on it during our work session, so I believe that we can take action on it, even if it's an informational.
Rita?
Because it was only in our workshop, so the public has not seen it. Do we want parent input or not? Or do we want to at least put it on the agenda so parents can see it? And that way they could have public comment on the agenda item or just not have it, because nobody has seen this but us.
But I thought when we discussed in the work session this afternoon that parents had talked about it, some had concerns about too long of a break, and then they would have to have babysitters for when they had work, and so we had some discussion on that. Mm-hmm. Did some see this beforehand, or was this just hearsay?
Well, we discussed it last month during the workshop as well. Correct. That was on last month's workshop, and it's been on this month's workshop. I mean, it's not like it has to be adopted right now. It's due in July, so we can put it on the agenda. Maybe
at least put it on the website.
Yeah,
usually it's in the packet before.
And we've got it narrowed down to calendar A to open up discussion. For that, and then we can take action on it next, so we can add that on next month's meeting agenda. I think that would be the best way to do that. Thank you, Brenda and Rita.
So does she have to rescind her motion, or do we have to vote on it since she moved?
No,
I withdraw my second, and if Hillary is withdraw her motion, we can do that.
So are you withdrawing?
Withdraw.
Okay. Hillary's withdrawing her motion. Brenda's withdrawing her second, and we will add this to action items for next month.
March meeting.
Calendar A on next month's meeting agenda. And then next up is second reading for BP 6145, and that is the co-curricular and interscholastic programs policy, which would remove students with any D grades. It would just be taking the D out. So it would read students with any F grades on the weekly eligibility forms do not meet eligibility requirements. The only change from that. And this is the second reading.
Grant?
Yes.
Could Mr. Franklin, Mike, could you tell us, could you remind me why it is even a topic for us? Did the principals bring it up, admin bring it up that it's requested, or just for more clarification on why we're seeing it, please?
Through the chair. Answer that.
You want me to answer?
No, I'm asking.
Oh, if you can answer it, please.
Yes, looking, it was brought up by school principals, activities director, and myself. We're looking at, yes, it was brought up from the schools first, and then I reviewed it and agreed that it was worth looking at. To have our policy reflect that of the state athletics.
But how does that even make sense when the paragraph above it says the school board requires students in grades 7 through 12 to earn a minimum of 2.0 or C grades, and then we're going down to the bottom saying if they have any F grades?
So there's two levels. So one is the overall grade point average.
Right.
And then one says that they can't have any D's or any F's. So it is possible to have over a 2 point and still have
a D,
for example. And so the suggestion was made that we just go to just the 2.0 or the F more closely reflect. It's still more rigorous than the state requirement, but it would more closely reflect that.
They still won't be allowed to have F grades, according to our change.
If the change is
approved. Yeah, they could have five A's and a D, and they're going to have a 2.0 or greater, so that they would be eligible. But if they had five A's and an F, they'd be ineligible, correct? That's how that would balance it, because students with any F grades on the weekly eligibility forms do not meet eligibility requirements.
It's 2.0 and no Fs.
Yeah. Okay. Does that answer your question?
It does, but it just feels kind of crazy that we're going back. Where students, the student council is one who requested it because they wanted to hold themselves more accountable. And there is athletic people on the student council. Most usually are. But it's kind of crazy that we're going back and saying, oh, we don't care if you get a, you could have a D, but we're going backwards. I don't know how else to say that. Yeah, we're not holding academics high.
Especially on the road trip report, they're reporting that they didn't have enough academic time or didn't get a lot of academics done. I mean, if a kid is going on a school trip with a D, they're pretty much almost failing this class. And then we're sending them on a 10-day road trip. You know, I mean, I agree with Rita. When the King Coast students put that in front of the board and we agreed on it for the C1.
I'm definitely in favor of, you know, changing it where it's a set thing, because what has been happening and what we discussed last time is, you know, different schools do different things. One may grade on a quarter versus a semester. One may take that week prior grades, and one may not. It should be across the board. Everybody does the same, but it hasn't been. And I think that maybe that could be why this came up. But making it more solid, because it does say a D or F, but that it has to,
The process, I think what you're saying is like our process isn't consistent, or procedures and processes of how we're collecting grades, when we're collecting grades. Is that what you're saying? And it needs to be more streamlined, so all of our sites are doing the same thing. So then it becomes, that's just our practice, rather than maybe we're collecting grades at the quarter, or you guys are collecting the grades at week. But I believe they do collect them every Monday, don't they, when they're in sports or they're traveling?
It has to be something.
But maybe it's just we need things that are kind of outlined a little bit better. Personally, I support the change just for because when I'm thinking about it, AASB put these policies in place for a reason, and they're the ones who actually did the research and has the data to support the decisions they made. And so I'm comfortable with following what policies they put up and said to follow. But I think you're right, Rita. I think we need something that's lined out that says this is how we collect grades for all academic and or co-curricular activities. But that wouldn't be a policy change. That would be...
That should be in the student handbook.
Yeah, in the procedures.
And that's what I think it came up with is, hearing a student who possibly did have a DF got to go to, state for something, and then another team could have, sent their other player type of a situation. And then it also plays into, senior trip coming up, close up, that type of stuff. They're all the same. But if we have, one school doing one thing, another school doing another, it doesn't make any sense to me. It just needs to be uniform.
That part of the policy, though, has always been in there. The policy that talks about the superintendent or designee may exempt from eligibility requirements, extra co-curricular activities or programs which are offered primarily for academic achievement, or the ones where it says it's the what is it called? The probation, academic probation, where they were allowed to do that. That has been in our policy from before we changed it. It was in our policy when we changed it. That hadn't changed. The fact that somebody actually used it is what changed. So, and it's a case-by-case basis. It's not for every student who isn't passing, because I know we've had students not passing and they haven't been able to participate in sports. So it's not like that's what happens. There's some very specific guidelines and rules that go along with it, if I'm understanding how that operated correctly. Yes. It's Well, it's
it's on there.
It's on. It's on here as an action item. So, if we want to change it, then we need a motion to change it. If you don't want it changed, then it can die right here. I mean, that's what we're here for. That's part of our job. So.
Don't we just move to accept it, and then whoever doesn't want it, then they just say no, and then it'll just be back on the table, right?
It wouldn't be back on the table. It would be done,
and it would just revert back to what it was before.
It would just stay as is.
I thought clarified it. No, yeah, this was an update, though. Mm-hmm. This was updated from AS. In the first reading,
yeah, we did. So in the second reading, it would be. It would go in effect. Okay. So we would need a motion to.
This is Hillary. I'll make a motion for BP 1645 for the second reading.
So you just moved to accept this?
Yes.
The motion to put it on the floor.
Put it on the floor.
Second.
Okay. Charlene? Roll call?
Rayette?
Yes.
Charlene?
Yes. This is just to put it on the floor, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rita?
Okay.
Yes, to put it on the floor.
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Arlen?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. So now that it's on the floor.
Now we need adoption. We're a doctor. Not
so. Yes.
I'll make a motion for BP 6145 to adopt.
I'll second.
Motion by Hillary, second by Carlene. Roll call.
Carlin?
No.
Carlene?
No.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
No.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita?
No.
Motion fails.
Okay. Next order is SY 2025 staff update.
Good.
That'd probably be FY.
Oh, okay.
I think we could
school year, or
I think we could move that just to the new hires and resignations. I think we'll cover that there.
Okay. I guess it's just information we can do that. Next is the false pass PICTA trip.
Is this like an action item? I mean, do we have to move on it and accept it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Rita. I'll make a motion to approve the false pass at PICTA trip as presented in our packet.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
Motion by Rita, second by Brenda. Roll call.
Harlan?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
And Harry's?
Okay. And then E is the Akitana Picta trip.
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion to accept the Akitana Picta trip as been.
I'll second.
I have a question. Could I ask it after?
No, you can ask.
Sorry, I know that with this one, it does not have a, unless I missed it, where it says, are they going to fundraise then for the difference? Or maybe, because I see that Equitan does have a lot of student activities funds. Are they planning on using those funds to pay for the difference? That was my only question, because the Falls Pass, they actually wrote in their report that they were going to fundraise for the difference. And this one does not have a plan unless I missed it or something. But they do have a lot of.
I believe that, yes, I think I communicated with Isaiah and that is the plan.
And that's usually what they do every year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Roll call.
Carlene?
Yes.
Rhett?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Personnel new hires. Looks like we have three new hires. Matthew Brown, principal teacher, Falls Pass, Madison Phillips, Social Studies, Sam Point, and Karen Keck, Principal, King Cove.
I'll make a motion to accept the new hires.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Carlene?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And next is resignations. We have Kurt Hagedorge, principal teacher, Falls Pass.
I'll make a motion to accept Kurt's resignation.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Rita?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Harlan?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Harry's?
Yeah. And now we got public comments on non-agenda items. Is there anybody with public comments? Anybody online with a public comment on non-agenda items? Okay, next is board comments. How many board comments, King Cove? Oh, sorry, Hillary, you're next.
Yep, I just Harlan here. Just wanted to say thank you for the principal speaking up. That was pretty different and pretty good. So I had.
Anybody else? Kinkove? Yeah, Brenda.
I'd like to thank everyone for all the hard work so far this year. And thank you for athletic director. He's done an awesome job. I know we've had a lot of challenges with the weather, the airports, and different things. And you know, parents just want to see their children play and be able to cheer them on and watch them. And so does the community. So I'm very thankful that we got to have these by both the boys teams and the girls teams. To say that, you know, we've always upheld our standards of our children. And when they come to us and they tell us that they want increased standards, yes, it's nice to follow the association along the school boards. Yes, they have a lot of data and information behind what they decide and what they promote. But we as a school district also have the right to be able to hold our schools to higher standards. And I think what we did tonight was being able to uphold a group of students and schools coming together, not only with the King Cove kids that came before our school board at the time, but it was Sandpoint kids also. They came forward and they decided that this was a standard that they want tightened up. And I think that I had to uphold those voices that still echo in my head yet today. And I'm thankful for us upholding that standard. It's a little tougher, but as we always say, if we raise that bar, they will reach it. And I think we're seeing a lot more success in our youth today. And I'm very proud of them. I'm very proud of how they conduct themselves and how they act with. I've never seen such interaction with the youth and the community before in a long time. And I'm very proud of them to see the Sandpoint kids running around through the bleachers, cleaning stuff up right alongside the King Cove kid, interacting, helping elders up and down the steps was pretty awesome. And I'm very proud of them all. And that comes not only from those kiddos, but that comes from their families, that comes from the teachers and the staff that we have. So we have to be proud of this district. Thank you.
I don't know how to follow that. Everything seems to be going good. And definitely thank you everybody for your reports. I enjoy reading them all the time, but then hearing some extra little tidbits is always nice. I appreciate all the pictures that everybody puts in the reports because we can't, you know, if we can't see something, that is very nice to actually physically see those things. And thank you everybody for your time. And I can't believe it's almost towards the end of the school year soon. It's going by fast. Keep up the good work, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Sorry, Hillary, you're next.
Okay. Well, Mr. Barker, I just want to thank you for the AD department. And I just hope our students from Sandpoint and King Cove get out tomorrow. I'll be waiting to listen to the games tomorrow afternoon. So I'm going to hopefully this wind comes down so they have a good ride. But I just want to thank the principals for their reports and giving us the highlights. And yeah, thank you for a good year so far. I can't believe we're coming to the last stretch here. It seems like we just started. But I'm tired of winter. I would like some nice weather.
Yeah, thanks. I love like the principal reports and all that. I just want to make a comment of maybe we can highlight the honor roll. I don't think I've seen it. For some point. I mean, just so when you see the kids, you can give them kudos.
So like in the principal reports, maybe?
Or just the Friday Flyer or whatever. So it's visible to the community.
So what if we put it on the district webpage, the kids, the honor roll students from all the sites?
Yeah.
At the end of the quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good place where it's like brings everybody together. Honoring them all in the same way. Anything else?
No, that's all I had.
Carlene, Deb?
We talked about that. Were we supposed to have a first reading for... What did we talk about in that workshop? What Megan was talking about.
That'll be on next month's agenda.
So next month's agenda will be the first reading?
Yeah, that would be the first reading on next month's agenda.
Yep. Okay. And one other thing, I know before, a couple of years ago, we talked, Kirk was talking, when he was the IT guy, he was talking about how the logo was kind of, you know, awkward for, you know, moving to different things in IT. And we had suggested at one point to maybe do a contest of, you know, for a new logo, not like try to keep in the old logo, of course, that will always be like, you know, that logo for our district, but, you know, even to add another one, maybe something simpler for our,
for when we're printing on stuff, or, something more simplified. Yeah. Because this is a hard logo to print on anything.
So, I mean, I just wanted to bring that up maybe again, see if we can do that. Maybe it's a district-wide logo contest. And thank you, everybody, for your reports and all the pictures. It was a good meeting. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Well, everybody said everything, so... means I don't have to say anything. But thanks, everybody, for good meeting and agenda items for next meeting will be this policy here, the
family
and school partnership. And then
The calendar.
Would we adopt our strategic plan? Did we adopt it? It was after we met and did all the work, right? Mm-hmm. So would we put our strategic plan on the agenda to adopt it during the regular meeting?
When is that next meeting?
End of March.
But we're not meeting to do
the strategic plan is 19th and 20th. So, and we were talking about if people wanted to come over and do it in person, that we were going to try to make that possible, right?
And I think it would be on the calendar, on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. As an action item.
As an action item, yeah. Is there anything?
Sorry, Matt.
Go ahead.
With thinking of strategic planning, I've seen that only two board members are only needed, wanted.
I thought we were doing all of the board members. I mean, it's a plan for the...
District
school.
I think that's how they ideally like to have things, but we don't have to follow what their suggestion is. If everybody wants to participate, everybody can participate, correct, Mr. Franklin?
Absolutely. We want as many voices as possible.
I would think because we all live in different communities that it would be important that at least one person from the each community, one board member from each of the communities have presence, if not both or all. I think that's important. I mean, I could see if we're all in the same location, but we're not, and we have all our schools are very unique.
That's why I had to ask, because I was thinking the same thing, that how could there only be... How was that representation?
So please reach out to Cheryl if you want to come over during that time. Tiffany's coming here. She's going to be.
Each board member has different strengths in areas of the strategic plan for the school district.
Right.
They have different views and all with, yes, the same goal of the kiddos, but they have expertise and so
yeah.
I think who can be involved would be the best. I may be traveling at that time, but I'll find out hopefully within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And maybe offer to a community member or a parent from Accutane.
Yeah, right. Somebody from Accutane.
But it's going to be on Zoom, so it seemed like they'd be able to go in.
Yeah, we are going to have Zoom. Mm-hmm. We will have it on Zoom also.
I think before they, like Cheryl or whoever asked, like, you know, it was kind of like my choice. Did I want to, you know, go there or did I want to do it over Zoom or, you know?
Okay. Well, I just wanted you guys to know now because it is the end of February. So if you want to plan for it and we want to make sure we get that stuff planned for early enough.
And this is, it's happening in Falls Pass, right?
Megan, can I go home?
Too bad it's not fairy season.
It'd be March 26th.
March 26th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. March 26th, 6:30.
And senior trips coming up. I've heard rumors about senior trips, but we haven't seen any proposals.
We haven't seen anything. So principals, I would encourage you to have your seniors do what they need to do if we're approving senior trips.
And at that late date, we should have graduation dates for each community.
Do we already have graduate?
Do we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What date is South Point?
May 17th.
All righty. So, wait a minute.
What date's King Cove?
15th.
15th? Mm-hmm. Is there any in False Pass?
No.
Accutane has one or two.
As many seniors as Sandpoint.
Four?
Four seniors over there.
Wow. When's their graduation?
That drops our numbers down.
It was originally scheduled for the 13th, but I think the community's discussing it right now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
How many are in King Cove and how many are in Sandpoint? Seniors?
We have four. Accutane has four and
King Cove has 12.
King Cove has 12. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, they have a few.
Only four seniors in Sandpoint?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One girl. Girl.
Ariana.
What? We're going over on a boat so we have a place to live.
Okay. So now that we've got all that, we have executive session to review the superintendent's evaluation. So
I'll make a motion to go into executive session to discuss the superintendent evaluation at 8:21 p.m.
Are you extending an invitation to the superintendent?
Sure. Do you want to come on?
Are we just staying on here or are you sending a different link?
I'll move you into the room.
She'll move you into another room.
Yeah, so on your...
I'm right here. Okay.
Are you
on it? Okay, so we're all moving
out.
That's my fault.
Do I have a second?
Carlene will. Yeah, you're right.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. Bush or roll call? What time is it?
8:21.
8:21.
I made the motion.
Roll call?
8:21.
Carlene?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Freya?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Motion carries. Carlene?
Yes.
Are you on a device? Can you log into the meeting from a device? That, I don't think I can
move. I can. Oh, you can't move. Yeah, can't move. If you send me a link, I can.
Okay, yeah.